preaching on Acts chapter 12 when that was just our Bible study a week ago Wednesday. But what I want to preach on today, it's a particular story here. It's actually most of Acts chapter 12 is when Peter is saved out of prison. When God sends his jailbreak, he sends his angel to get him out of there. And what the title of my sermon is this morning is The Power of Prayer. And what I want to point out here, if you look down at in verse number 5, what we're just reading there in Acts chapter 12, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So the entire church that Peter was a part of there in that area was praying without ceasing. I mean, they were just bringing their supplications to God and just praying for Peter, you know, for his safety or whatever. And they kept praying to him. And look what happens down in verse 11. It says, you know, when Peter was come to himself, this is after he's already, you know, God sent his angel, and he lets him out of the prison. You know, it's a complete miracle. He's between two guards. He's like in probably one of the innermost portions of the prison, because he goes through like the first and the second ward before he finally gets to the gates. I mean, he's able to go through there completely undetected. And, you know, it's a total miracle. And then it says in verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So again, it shows us again that many were gathered together there praying, still even all the way up to the point where he was already released. They were still praying for him. And, you know, in verse 5 there says, prayer was made without ceasing. That reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It's a commandment. I mean, it's something that we ought to be doing all the time. And, you know, the importance of that is because God answers prayer. I mean, our God is a God that is going to answer our prayers, and it's not something that we should let slip. And this is something that I think is, I know for me personally, it's a little bit harder to do sometimes. I mean, getting out the Bible and reading the Bible and going out soul winning are things that in my schedule seem like it's easier to make the time to fit to do those things and to study the Bible and do those things. But prayer, you know, your mind has a tendency to wander a lot. When maybe you start to pray and then you just get caught up and start thinking about other things or whatever, it could be an easy thing to let slide. Or, you know, you have a real long day at work, you read the Bible, maybe you go out soul winning and you do all these things in the day and you're like, you haven't prayed yet. And it's real easy just to fall asleep. Or if you set your prayer time, probably not the best idea to have your prayer time right before you go to bed, because, you know, oftentimes you're going to miss that. And it's serious, you know. I mean, this is something that we ought to be doing probably a lot more of. I know for me personally, I'm preaching to myself today because it's extremely important, and when we look at this, we're going to go through some examples in the Bible of how powerful prayer really can be. It's mentioned a lot all throughout the Bible. Prayer is mentioned. I mean, there's a very big emphasis on how much prayer is used in the Bible. And, you know, there's a sermon that Pastor Anderson preached quite a while ago. It's anything too hard for the Lord? And we ought to keep that in mind when we go to God with our prayers, because nothing is too hard for God. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter what the circumstances are, nothing is too hard. We ought to bring everything, all of our cares, in front, you know, to God and ask Him for help with these things. Now, we're going to go ahead and turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, there's a list of things here, of some things that we ought to be praying for. And in James chapter 5, starting in verse 13, the Bible reads, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So right at the beginning, if you're afflicted, you should pray, right? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I mean, we have a lot of people sick. As I mentioned earlier in announcements, there's a lot of people in our church that are sick today. And we ought to be keeping them in our prayers. You know, a lot of times we think of prayers, you think about what's going on in your own life. Right? Oh, I need help with this. I need help with that. But a big focus of our prayers ought to be on other people. Okay, we should have that heart and be thinking about other people and putting them in our prayers. Right? Praying for them, because the more people you see that are praying for one particular person, like this group of people were praying for Peter to get out of prison. That had an impact. Okay, all these people praying for the same thing. I mean, God sent a miracle for that to happen. That was an impossible situation. No human means could get him out of there. But God was able to get him out through the effectual, the fervent prayer of the people, of the church, for that one person. When you notice people, when you come into church, there's people here you see every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every church service, right? When that person is missing, you ought to take note of that person and be like, wow, there's got to be a reason why they're not here. Okay, maybe they're sick, maybe there's something else going on in their life. Okay? Or maybe they're even backsliding. I don't know. I mean, whatever the reason is, we need to keep that person in our prayers. Don't let them slip. You know, keep them in your hearts and in your minds and your prayers to God. Because the more people that do that, again, we could see astounding results. God is not held back by anything but our lack of faith. Okay? So let's continue on here in James chapter 5. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I mean, that's a promise there. Effectual, fervent prayer. Fervent, I mean, that's you know, a heated prayer. That's something that you really get into, and you're praying often and frequently. It's going to avail much. And it says, of a righteous man, too. Okay? You ought to be, I want to get into that a little bit later, but the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, if you want your prayers to be answered, you ought to be following God's word and living a righteous life yourself for God to be listening to you to answer your prayers. Now, in verse 17 here, we see an example of how powerful prayer can really be. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here we see how powerful that could be. I mean, 3.5 years of no rain due to one man's prayer here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was an extremely righteous man, okay? But, I mean, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Okay, there's no reason why we can't be an Elijah today. Okay, you just have to get your heart right with God and get your head in the Bible and start living the righteous life. And, you know, praying earnestly to God, He'll answer your prayers. And he was able to do two great things. He prayed for it not to rain, and then he prayed for it to rain. And both those prayers were answered by God. Some other examples. You don't have to turn all these. I'm just going to read a few of these out just to, you know, give you a little bit of a reminder of some of the powerful examples of prayer from the Bible. And while I was trying to think of some examples of powerful prayer, I mean, nothing's more powerful to me than, like, you know, bringing someone back from the dead. And you see that in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. It says that when Elisha was coming to the house in verse 32, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. So here, this child was dead. But you notice in verse 33 it says, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. So first thing he did is he prayed unto God. God answered that prayer here, and this child was revived back to life. Okay, and also in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, there's another story here where it says, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. So this, you know, it's another example. It said, you know, he put everyone out of the room. He kneeled down, he got on his knees before God, and he prayed. He prayed for God's power. He prayed for a miracle from God, for this girl to come back to life. And God answered that prayer. And you notice he humbled himself. He kneeled down. He got on his knees and prayed. which is another thing I suggest we ought to do, because it's another thing that you know, and can tend to be forgotten. When we make our prayers, it's easy. People want to just pray in their mind, which is nothing wrong with praying to God in your mind. I mean, that's great. You could do silent prayers in your head. You ought to do it throughout the day. Okay? That's a good thing. But there should also be a time where you're going to get down on your knees and humble yourself before the Lord, before the Creator of the universe, and present your supplications to Him and ask Him for things humbly with your head bowed and your knees on the ground. And, you know, we see the power that God can do with His prayer, with prayer here. You know, prayer has an effect. Now, this is the whole point of my sermon, is I'm trying to express that how much of an effect prayer can have. Because, you know, this shouldn't be something that just gets left by the wayside. God recognizes our prayer. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, you could turn there if you want. In Daniel chapter 9, it starts off where Daniel is going through this entire, it's a big, it's really just a really long prayer for like the first 20 verses of the book in Daniel chapter 9. And he's confessing the sins of Israel at that point. And you know, asking for God's mercy. And then in verse number 20 it says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter, consider the vision." So Daniel wanted to have this understanding of the vision that he saw. So he goes to God in prayer. And while he was still praying, I mean, he was praying to God for the first, you know, the first portion of that chapter. And it goes on and on and on. And he's praying this prayer to God. He's fervently praying to God. While he was still in the midst of his prayer, that prayer was already being answered. Gabriel tapped him on the shoulder. He's like, "Hey, you know, I'm here to, you know, I came." He came swiftly. He came quickly. And he came to answer that prayer that Daniel had. And the angel tells him, he says in verse 23, he says, "At the beginning of thy supplications, a commandment came forth." As soon as Daniel started to pray, God gave the commandment and said, "Okay, go tell him, go show him the vision." But you see, God didn't send him before he started praying. He waited until after he started praying. If Daniel hadn't done his prayer, I don't think God would have sent the angel to give him that understanding. Okay? And, you know, you have to ask. The Bible says, "Ask and you shall receive." Right? If you ask these things, God will give them to you. Okay? And here, Daniel is praying to understand the Bible, basically. He's trying to understand the vision that God gave him. And this is another point where we ought to have prayer in our life. When we read our Bibles, when you take the time out and you're gonna read your Bible, pray to God for the understanding, for God, for the Holy Spirit to teach you while you're reading. God will answer that prayer. But you know what? He might be just waiting for you to ask Him before He's going to show you things from the Bible. He's going to ask you, you know, just like He did with Daniel here, at the beginning of the supplications, then God commanded, said, "Okay, you can show him this." And so you see there's a lot of power in prayer. Now I want to go over how to have this power in your prayer. Okay, these men of God had great prayers answered. There was great power found in this prayer. But we want to have that same power, right? I want to have that same power when I pray to God. I want those answers, those prayers to be answered effectively and have these great miracles seen in my life and in the life of those around me. My first point here to have power in your prayers is to have faith. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11. See, we need to have faith that God is going to answer our prayers. We have faith in His Word and look at these examples and understand that, you know what, God is a God that answers prayers, and we have to have the faith in Him that He can do these things, that God is strong enough to do these things, He's powerful enough to do these things. In Mark 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall know and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Okay, we need to be praying in a way where we're really believing what we're praying for. Okay, don't pray for something and be like, man, this is like impossible, and I guess I'll just ask, but you know, God's probably not going to do it anyways. Don't pray like that. Okay, pray having faith that God is possible to do this thing. I mean, that's an incredible statement. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. I mean, that's something that none of us would think is a possibility at all. I mean, you probably think someone was nuts if he said, yeah, I'm just going to move that mountain over there. I want it over there right now. I mean, you'd be like, okay. but with God, he's saying here, you know, whosoever shall say on this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubting in his heart, shall believe those things. You know, those things are going to come to pass, whatsoever he ask. It's important to have that faith. Number two, okay, ask for godly things. We need to ask for things that are truly important. Okay, not ask for like, God, I want to win the lottery and you know, give me all these riches. Okay, that's not necessarily what God wants for you in your life. And you know, the Bible talks a lot about riches being a snare and how hard it is for a rich man even to get saved, because you get caught up with the cares of this world and it's deceptive. And you know, that's just one example. There's a lot of other things that you might be able to think of where you know, you don't want to pray for things just to consume them on your lust. Here in James chapter 4, you could go ahead and turn there to James chapter 4. I think we're going to be going back to the James again, maybe not. James chapter 4 in verse 1, the Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war that ye have, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So the Bible's telling us, look, if you're praying for things and you're not getting them, it could be because you're praying to just consume it on your lusts, on the things that you just desire to have that I mean, it's really of no value, or things that you probably shouldn't even be having. I mean, if you're just lusting after something, you're praying, God, please give this to me, and it's just like, I really, really want this boat. You know, I want to go out skiing every weekend. Please give me this boat. I mean, that's not that there's anything wrong with skiing, right? There's nothing wrong with you know, riding in a boat or anything like that. But it's not. It's vain. I think there's just vanity. There's not much to that. God's not going to answer that prayer just to consume it upon your own lusts. And you don't have to turn on 1 John 5. Verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So you see this. The confidence that we have in our prayers is that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So when we pray to God for things, you know, like Daniel did for the understanding, that's definitely in God's will. He wants you to understand his word. He wants you to know the Bible. You ask for that, he's going to give it to you. Okay? It says, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we can have this confidence, you know, in those two verses it says confidence, and we could know. Okay, these are things that we should be sure of. This goes back to having faith. Okay, we could trust God's word. We could trust that God is faithful and true to answer our prayers. And when we ask according to his will, when we ask things that we know that he wants for us and that are going to be good for us, that's how we, those are things we ought to be praying for if we want to have the power in our prayers. Number three, we need to keep the commandments. Very important. And of course, these are all in no particular order. I mean, they're all extremely important in order to have this power in your prayer. But we ought to be keeping God's commandments. In 1 John chapter 3, If you're already in 1 John 5, I don't know if you turned there or not, but in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." So again, I mean, you know, praying is just another word for asking. It's the same thing. When you pray to God, you're asking God for something. That's what a prayer is. I mean, when you give thanks for your food, maybe before you eat, that's not really a prayer. That's, you know, you're giving thanks. You're talking to God still. But you're not really asking for something. Praying, you're asking for something when you're praying. That's what that word means. So here it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Christ and love one another as He gave us commandments." So the Bible says, because we keep His commandments. So when you're living a righteous life, when you're obeying God's word, and you're listening to what God has to tell you, when you're doing what God is telling you to do, that's when He's going to listen to what you want from Him. It makes sense, right? I mean, why is God going to listen to what you have to say and want to answer your prayer if you're just ignoring God and you don't want to have anything to do with His laws? If you want to have anything to do with what He's telling you to do, why should God listen to you? I mean, it makes perfect sense here. And the Bible tells us, you don't have to turn there, that your prayers won't be answered if you're not doing His will. And in Proverbs 28:9 it says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." So you turn your ear away. You don't want to hear what God has to say. You don't want to hear what the Bible says. You have nothing to do with that. It says your prayer is an abomination. God's disgusted with the fact that you would even go to Him with a prayer if you don't want to have anything to do with His book and His word and His law. So we ought to keep that in mind as well. And also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." So it says, over the righteous. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So again, I mean, it's, you know, if we're living the righteous life and we're listening to what God has to tell us and making the changes that are necessary in our life, we're reading our Bible, we could pray, we could have faith. I mean, for one, if you're not reading the Bible, I don't even know how you're going to have faith. Read what God has for you. Pray for the understanding. You can get the faith based on all the evidence that the Bible gives us. Okay, we could trust that God is true. We could trust that God's not a liar. We could believe the things when we pray for Him that God's going to give them to us. We could ask for the things that are found here. We get the wisdom knowing what's good and what's not good. Pray for those things that are good in our life and in the lives of others. Keep the other people in our prayers that they can be blessed as well. And keep the commandments, taking what we learn and applying them in our lives. This is how we're going to get the power. And you notice that the examples that I gave earlier, I mean, Daniel, Peter, right? These are people that were great men of God. They were, you know, doing their best to obey what God had to tell them and following their commandments. That's why they had this prayer. I mean, you don't find, there's no stories of just random people having these awesome, miraculous prayers answered. Okay, if you want to see the great, big power that God can do for you, you know, this is some of the things that we need to have. And my final point here with power in prayer, you know, I noticed a lot when I was studying up on prayer in the Bible, it mentions fasting a lot. Fasting is often associated with praying and bringing your supplications to God. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible reads, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Now this is when the disciples had brought the man that was possessed of a devil. And they were unable to cast out the devil, right? And they're saying, why couldn't we do this? You know, they're able to do it with other people. But there's this guy here, and he's like, they were not able to cast out this devil. So they brought him to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do this? And he said, first of all, he said, because of your unbelief. Right? They didn't have the faith, which is what I mentioned earlier. We need to have faith in our prayers. He said, because of your unbelief. You know, mentioned again, removing a mountain. If you just have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Right? But then in the next verse it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay? So he mentions fasting there with their prayer. I think that goes hand in hand with the effectual, fervent praying, where you're really, really wanting to get God's attention, you really want to get a hold of God, and you humble yourselves by fasting and denying yourself and really going to God and asking Him for things. Another example is in Ezra. You go ahead and turn there if you want. In Ezra chapter 8, and I'll read for you here in Acts chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." And this is where Cornelius, he's fasting and praying, and his prayer is heard, right? And we can't. You shouldn't just skip over that he was fasting and prayed, because you like I said, you find look for those two when you go home. When you read the Bible, keep that in mind. Look for how often fasting and praying are associated together in the Bible. I mean, you see that time after time that people are fasting when they have things they have to ask of God, when they want their prayers answered, they fast. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, the Bible says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." So it's just one more example here where, they proclaimed a fast that they might afflict themselves before God for Him to seek out a right way. That's what they're saying, that, for Him to give them direction, to give them the guidance, and answer their prayer. And when they fasted and they besought God for this, they prayed unto God for this, God answered their prayers and entreated them. And, so basically to sum it up, prayer is very, very, very powerful. We see many, many stories. And I only pulled out a couple because I don't want to just spend time. We went to a lot of Bible already today, but you see over and over and over again all these stories throughout the Bible of great things that happen through prayer. Okay, God answers prayer in miraculous ways. And for us to have that kind of powerful prayer, we need to have faith. We need to ask God for the right things, make sure we're asking Him for things that He wants for us, that's in His will. We need to be keeping ourselves holy unto God, following His commandments, doing what He has for us to do so that He'll listen to us. And, if there's something that you really want to get a hold of God about and you're having a hard time, fast, Try to deny yourself a little bit. Humble yourself. Maybe you need to take your mind down a bit, take the pride out a little bit, and humble yourself before God and really just rely on Him and go through some fasting. And God can listen to you. And now, one other point here I want to bring up. Another thing that I think will help is if you're an answer to someone else's prayer. And this could go back to obeying the commandments and following God's commandments and implementing that in your life. We ought to be an answer to someone else's prayer. Okay? Because God will oftentimes, God can do miracles, absolutely, and we saw that and we read about that. But God also uses other people to answer prayer. Okay, and probably the number one way that He does that is when you have a family, a friend, a loved one is not saved. And you know that they're not saved, and they're on their way to hell. Okay? In that situation, God is not going to do a miracle where He doesn't use a preacher to preach the Word of God unto them. God is not going to save that person on His own. God has committed unto us the reconciliation. God has committed unto us as ambassadors of Christ to bring the gospel to those people. Okay? And it's great. We ought to be praying for our unsaved friends, family, and loved ones. We ought to pray for them that they can get saved. Okay? But on the flip side, we ought to be doing something about that too. I know I have family in Chicago and not all of them are saved. And I try to witness to them as much as I can, but it's harder for me being over here to do that. You know, I pray that God can send other people to them so that they could hear the gospel and get saved, maybe from someone else. I mean, maybe they don't even want to hear it from me. But if I want that prayer to get answered, if I want my family to get saved, if I want those people to get saved, I think God's gonna look a lot more closely and be a lot more willing to give me what I ask for if I'm out there knocking on doors and trying to get someone else's brother, someone else's mother, someone else's father the gospel. Try to answer someone else's prayer by presenting the gospel to them that they have the opportunity to get saved. I think if I'm out there doing that, he's going to be a lot more likely to listen to me and to my concerns about my family. And I know that's in God's will. God's willing that all should, you know, that all should repent, that all should be saved. God's not willing that any should perish. We know that that's in God's will. Okay, so that's a great prayer to have, but you ought to let yourself be an answer to someone else's prayer. I'm gonna close with a story from our small town soul winning marathon we had yesterday in Superior. Because this is an amazing event, and it's something that's probably going to stay with me forever, because it truly was moving. It was incredible. You know, we knock on everybody's door. We're knocking on doors, and we're trying to preach the gospel. I get a young lady that wants to listen to me, and I preach her the entire gospel, explain to her how Jesus died for her sins. She made a decision there. She believed that what the Bible said. She put her faith on Christ, and she got saved that afternoon. And it was a great thing. And you know, you see that sometimes we go out soul winning, you get someone saved. It's awesome. And you have that confidence, too, when they really understand, they really get the gospel, and you could tell that they get it. And while I was leaving, I thanked her, and I went back. I said, wait, I got a Bible for you. She didn't have a Bible, so I gave her a Bible. While I was leaving, her father shows up, and I start talking to him, and you know, I start questioning him on the gospel, and he was already saved. And you know, I kept asking and digging a little deeper and probing and making sure, you know, he believed that you know, eternal security. Once you're saved forever. You're saved through not of your own works, right? It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to him. As I'm talking to him, there's a couple other people show up. And one of the guys, and I'm not sure if this other gentleman was his son or a relative or maybe a friend of the family, but this guy walks up, and his father said, and then this father that I was talking to, he said, hey, remember when I was talking to you about being born again? Remember when I was telling you about that? And he's just like, yeah. He's like, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. And the guy's just like, he didn't really want to hear it. So the father and this and myself were both kind of persuading him to say, look, just listen to this. Just, you know, it's not necessarily what you think it is. You just give me the opportunity to talk to you about this. So after a little going back and forth, he finally says, all right, I'll listen. I'll listen to what you have to say. Okay. I go through the gospel with that man. That man ends up getting saved. And while I'm in the middle of giving the gospel of this, the father of the daughter that I was the house I was just at was saying, yeah, he's like, I've been telling him and I've been telling my daughter, you know, that they need to get saved, and I've been trying to tell them. And I said, your daughter is saved. I said, she just got saved today. He's like, no way. He's like, did she really? And he goes, he's like, I got to go back inside. And he goes and talks to his daughter. He comes back out, and he's just like, just ecstatic. I mean, there's a man that truly had his prayers answered. Okay? And I'm thankful and I'm glad that I was able to be a part of that. Not only are these two souls able to go to heaven now, and you know, I'm not trying to put like any honor and glory on myself for this. I'm not trying to draw attention to that. It's the fact of, though, you have to go out and be an answer to someone else's prayer, okay? God's the one that gets all the credit. God's the one that gets all the glory for our salvation, obviously. I mean, Jesus did all the work for us. It's just a free gift for us. I'm just telling other people about that gift that he has for us. Okay? But someone needs to do that. That's our job. That's our responsibility to go out and do that. Okay? We need to do this. People need to know about the free gift that's available to them. And, you know, it is an incredible thing to be an answer to someone else's prayer. And I truly believe that if you decide to go out and do that, and you sacrifice your time and your effort and submit yourself to the will of God to preach the gospel to every creature, He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to look at you and say, okay, He's using you to answer someone else's prayer. I think He's going to try to find somebody to send to my family to give them the gospel too. Now that person is going to have to submit themselves to God and follow His commandments. I'm sure God's sending out people all over the place, but they're not listening to what God has to tell them. And that's the sad part, but you know what? You can make that decision in your life whether or not you're going to obey God's will and His commandment to go out and do this. Okay? Don't worry about what other people are doing. You can make that decision for yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be an answer for someone else's prayer. I want my answers, my prayers answered in my life. And so I'm going to take it upon myself to try to be an answer for prayer for other people. So let's not forget others in our prayers and just fully understand the power that God is capable of doing. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank